those two songs. When I came in the last time I was up here, my belt got loose. So when I came in this morning, I met my dear sister Shirley, and she says, "I don't want to touch you. Do you have a belt?" Yes, yes, Shirley, I have a belt. I hope it stays on. Anyhow, I've been doing this since 1968. And I want to make it clear to everyone this morning. People call me pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. That's what the Lord called me to do. He called me to go into the desolate places and pull people out to him. And I've been doing that from Canada, Jamaica, and here. And I've brought many souls, or lead many people to the Lord God, our Savior. What I would want you to understand this morning is that we are giving God thanks. I've read the scripture over and over, and there is one passage of scripture that I could not understand, and was the passage of scriptures that says to me, "In all things, give thanks." I could not understand that scripture, because when my mom got murdered, I said, "How can I give thanks for this?" My sister got murdered, I said, "How can I give thanks for this?" My nephew got murdered, I said, "How can I give thanks for this?" But for you to understand this scripture that says, "In all things give thanks," you have to go back to the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, let me get my glasses on. You see, as I told you, 80 years old, the eyes run water, and sometimes when I get up in the morning, my head says to me, "Guy, you're up," and my body says, "No, you better lie down some more." So I need my glasses. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, I'm going to read these two verses. And when I read these two verses, I could sit down. Because when you read those two verses and you understand the Bible, so you meditate upon the Word of God. And you meditate upon the Word of God and understand those two verses of Scripture, all you have to do is when it says, "In all things give thanks," you fully understand what it's saying. It says, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth, of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the water, and God says, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." Now, if you notice what happens here, Genesis chapter 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning, God." I could preach 1,000 messages from this. It says, "God." And it goes on to say, "God spoke, and there were light. And there were everything that God that came forward thereafter came from God. So everything that you have or will have, it comes from God. And if you notice, I'm talking to some you young people, look what our Heavenly Father did before he started a family. And I'm talking to myself also. If you notice what it says here, God created everything. He created everything that we would need or that we should need. And it went on and says the different things that God has created. And God says to us, when he has created us, or created us, he says, have dominion over everything that he has created. He gave everything that he has created to you and I. And he says, we should rule over them. But what I notice is that we are allowing these things to rule over us. And instead of giving God thanks for these things, sometimes we end up with grief and sorrow and pain because we are grabbing all of these stuff when the first place that we should look to, or the first person that we should look to, is the Lord God of heaven. I'm going to say some things this morning that has nothing to do with politics, but I have to say them. God created everything. He created all of us. When you go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, you notice up here, God spoke and things came into existence. But when it gets to Genesis chapter 20, chapter 1, verse 26, 27, God says, let us make man. He didn't just spoke us into existence. He spent some time making us. And he says, what I'm going to do for man, I'm going to make them in my own image. What is his image? Righteousness, justice, peace, thanksgiving, love, joy. He gave that all to us. And because we misunderstand him, what we do, we stop to complain instead of stop to say thank you, Lord. Amen. Understand the scripture. Jesus was right there when God created us. The Holy Spirit was right there when God created us. You have a saying in theology that just says, God, we believe in a monotheistic God. Meaning we believe in one God in three persons. In theology, you learn that. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit said, let us make man in our own image. And some of us, instead of thanking God for who we are and what we are, we start to look to man. You know, when you read the Word of God, God says, he loved you and he loved me more than all my mother or my father would love me. You are made in the image of God. So do not underestimate yourself. You cannot be more precious. The Word of God says, the whole world does not value your soul. The worst human being you can think of, the whole world does not value his or her soul. That's what God says in his word. You're made in God's image. And if you're made in God's image, God used to come down to Adam, and he used to fellowship with Adam and Eve. And what happens is, like today, we have people lying to us. The devil came and lied to Adam and Eve. And instead of Adam and Eve resort back to their father, God, who made them, they start doubting their father. And by doubting their father, they put us in this dilemma. What is the dilemma we are in? We are in the dilemma of running away from God. Instead of running to God and say, thank you for what you have done for me, we are running to God and say we are afraid of him. We're not supposed to be afraid of God. When you go in Romans, he says he does not give you the spirit to fear. He says he has given you the spirit where you cry, Abba, Father. You say, what are you saying, Brother Minot or Reverend Minot? I'm saying every day that you wake up, just breathing is enough to say thank you, Lord. You don't thank him when your bank book is full. You don't thank him when you have good health. You don't thank him when you get famous. You thank him when you get up in the morning and you're standing upright because you're made in his image, and he says to you, he loves you. And he loves me. No matter what our sins are, he loves us more than our parents loved us. That's the God I know. That's the God I'm serving. Why do you think I do all what I'm doing down there? Because I love God. And I love people. I can hate you and love God. It doesn't work. In John, it says, if you hate your brother and say you love God, you're a liar. That's John. You're going to Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says, every one of us in here, black, white, Jamaican, Liberian, Spanish, whoever we are, we were created from one blood. We are one. That's who we are. We are one. And we need to stop depending on people and start depending on God. I've heard people say to me, so stupid, I can't come to church anymore. Why you can't come to church? There is too much hypocrites in the church. I say, you are the only one got fooled. I say, I knew that from day one. Because the only thing that happens when you run from a church to church to find people, you go there and you make it worse. Because the only thing that changes you is the blood of Jesus Christ within your heart. Thank you, Lord. This is amazing grace. The goodness of God. Even when Adam sinned, you take a good look in your Bible and read your Bible. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, you think you have eternal life in the scriptures? He says, no, you don't have eternal life in the scriptures. The scriptures spoke of me. Search it and see for yourself. You find it in John chapter 5. He says, the only time you and I have eternal life is not in religion. It's the transformation of our heart. When God changes our heart by the blood of his precious son, Jesus Christ. God made us in his image. So we thank God for who he is. He's all powerful. He's self-existent. You can't bribe God to have him do anything for you. We have a lot of leaders who get bribed. We can't bribe God for him to be unjust. He's a just God. Thank you, Lord, for being a just God. He says to me, and he says to you, he says, listen, you can make all the excuse you want to make, but you know what I do? I'm looking in your heart, and what I see within your heart, that's what I'm going to judge you by. So you can say all the hypocrites that's in the church. When he looks in your heart, what is he going to see? Is he going to see the blood of Jesus Christ in your heart? Or is he going to see you watching other people? What is he going to see? You see, people says, sometimes I talk about myself. Yes, there's a lot to talk about. You know why I talk about myself? Jesus has done a lot for me. So I can tell people what Jesus did for me. I won more people by telling them what Jesus has done for me more than telling them about the gospel. Jesus did it for me. I love you, Lord. This is amazing grace. Now that we establish who God is, the self-existing, powerful God who made everything, sustain and keep everything afloat. Now we can see that he made us also, and he breathed into us his breath. And by him breathing into us his breath, we are standing up and we're praising and we're eating and we're drinking and we're walking around. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Not what you have done for my brother or my sister, what you have done for me. Now we are going to go into John chapter 5, where the primary message is supposed to be coming from. John chapter 5, and we're going to preach from there this morning what it's saying, what Jesus says. It says, in John 5, Jesus was on his way up to Jerusalem to a feast. And while going up to the feast, it says Jesus had to go through Jerusalem. You see, I keep pulling this belt up because this belly keeps coming over. I'm doing everything to try to get rid of it. You know, Isaac says to me, now you're 80 years old, 81, I'm going to be 81. He said, I'm going to designate to take care of you. I said, good, Isaac. He said, I'm going to make sure I put a bib on you. I said, what did you say? I'm going to make sure there is a bib on you. And I'm going to tell him not to feed you anything but crumb chicken. I said, what? So I have my nurse already preparing for me, Isaac. But I want to tell you something about these young people before I go into this message. We have some great young people working in the pantry. We have some great human beings working in the pantry. You say to me, you see me there, and all of you saying, I'm doing a good job. No, there's a whole lot of people in this church behind me and out of this church that is helping to make this pantry run the way it's running. You know, I thank the pastors and the deacons who allow us to continue doing what we are doing, that we can win souls. I remember Sunday gone, I hear some commotion. And when I look, I see Susanna, I think, Chip's daughter, who's working down here with us recently. And I see her with one of her shoes off her feet in her hand. And when I look around, I see she knelt on the ground beside a woman that came in the pantry. This woman came in the pantry in the cold without any shoes. And she's taking the shoes off her feet to put on the lady. And I'm saying, and it could not fit her. And Anne Marie running to get her shoes to fit on the lady. It could not fit her. Isaac went and he dug in every part of the pantry and he found the shoes. And he knelt on his knees and he rubbed her feet, took her socks off, shake out the sand of the shoes or the socks, and fit the shoes on her feet and allow her to go home rejoicing. These are the people I work with down there. Carol, you may kill me later on, but I'm going to use you. And I had a person walk in there, and I'm using color because of race. This is a strapping African-American brother walking there, and he said, I just lost my job, and I need some food. So it was a Thursday. I said to Carol, I don't have time to do this. Can you make them a box for me? Make them a box. So Carol made up the box for the man. And while she was making a box, I have my chicken stem over there. I said, Carol, give him one of the leg of the chicken, half of the chicken. Carol, why you laugh, Miriam? Why are you laughing now, Richard? I said, give him a half of my chicken. Carol took up my whole chicken and gave to this man. So I said, Carol, why did you give him the whole chicken? She looked me straight in the eye, and her motherly instinct kicks in. He has 5 children. I say, okay, you win. Another Caucasian brother came in, and I said, Anne Marie, you take care of him, because I'm doing other stuff, taking care of the boxes. I'm just pointing out the type of people I'm working down there. When I look, this man going through the aisle, picking up his thing, and he's crying. And I said, why is he crying? But the brother is crying because things are so hard. He didn't thought that he would be in a food pantry looking for food. These are the things that people do. Marion and all these, Summers and all these people who are driving down there every Thursday to deliver these boxes, using their gas, using their time. If they are going away on vacation, they make sure they notify us. That's the group we have down there. And why are you saying that? Why are you saying this, Brother Minot? I'm trying to let you understand what Jesus says Christianity is all about. Christianity is not me sitting in my comfort zone. Christianity is me going into the dumps and pick people out and bring them to Jesus. That's what Christianity is about. Christianity is taking the shirt off my back and give to you that has no shirt. Christianity is when I don't have any food and I have one loaf of bread. I split it for my brother and I. That's Christianity. It's not putting on a tuxedo and a black tie or a gown and having a good time. Notice where Jesus is going here. We're going to John chapter 5. I don't want to be too long. Who said amen over there? Jesus, look what Jesus does. You see, everywhere that Jesus went, Jesus went where sinners were. And Jesus said emphatically, I came into this world to save sinners. Some of us came into the world, and when we come as Christians, we come to criticize other Christians and dress other Christians and tell other Christians how to live and make their life uncomfortable and miserable. That's not what Jesus said. He said, "Who the Son set free, they are free indeed." So we thank him. Thank God for this church. When I got here, I was 31 years old. Now I'm 80 odd. I was 30 plus when I got here. Natalie wasn't born yet. Cassandra wasn't born yet. Guy was 3 months old when I walked into this church. Now they are grown people with grandkids. And you know something? This church is always a loving, kind church. We have our problems as any human being has. But you know one thing we do? Hear about each other. He didn't tell me to say this, but my brothers and sisters, you have a lead pastor here, Pastor Gary. Love him. Love him. He's one of the most honest, outstanding human beings I've ever met. I'm going to tell you, I preached once ago when I met Judy. I'm preaching 3 times on Sundays. Now I preach must be 2 times a year or less. Marriage people, bury people, both of you. Now if I go too long, I have to sit down. I'm going to tell you, he and I in his office, and it happens that I says something was going on. I said to him, my brother, I want you to understand. I want every one of the people here to be comfortable. My white sisters and brothers, my Spanish brothers and sisters, and I go on and on, and then he hit me back. Bang! I want everyone to be comfortable, including my black sisters and brothers. So somebody came into me and says to me, I want to speak to Father. I say, Father? Who is Father? I want to speak to Father. So I went and said, Gary, Pastor Gary, your children are out here. And trust me, he came out, he treated them like they were his children. Some things I could tell you about him, working with him. Why do you think I do what I'm doing here? Because I know this man has a heart of gold for God's people. That is why I do what I do here. I have opportunities way back then to be pastors and what have you. I am not a pastor, I tell you. You call me pastor, I'm not. I'm a reverend evangelist. That's who I am. That's what Jesus told me. He told me that a long time. Show me my mission. Anyhow, let us get into John chapter 5. Marianne, stop that. I am going to be short. What do you say, John? John chapter 5, verse 1. Continue. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. What you see going on here? This man is in this condition for 38 years. And if you notice what they say at the pool, they were blind, lame, paralyzed people. I'm not going to get in the number 5, what it means in the Bible. And you hear what he's saying? I am waiting for someone that has similar problems that I have when the angel comes once per year and stir the water for them to forego of themselves and put me in first. You said, what a silly thinking. Well, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, that's where a lot of us are. All of us is in the same pool of problems. All of us are in the same pool. And we are looking to each other for help. When we're supposed to look to God Almighty for help. All of us are in the same condition. Sick group of people. All of us are. And we are waiting and trusting other people to make us well when they themselves need to be well before they can make me well. And it will never, ever, ever happen. Because the only person that can heal you, as you will see with this man, his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if he does not pass by your way, you can never and will never be healed. I'm waiting for somebody to put me in the pool. Think of this condition. 38 years is there. With all these sick people. Stop and think of the human behavior of the body. Who's going to wash him? Who's going to change their clothes? Who's going to lead them? Who's going to cook for them? Think of all this while the Bible says you meditate and you understand the story. Who's going to do all these things for him that he needs to have done? Are you getting where I'm going? That's the world. With all different kinds of problems. As I said before. And we all sit looking to each other's for help. When the Lord God of heaven says, call upon him. Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me. That's what he says. He said, turn them over to me. And when you turn them over to me, I will take care of them. We turn them over to other people. And when we turn them over to other people and they fail us, we cry. And we cry out to the Lord like the children of Israel did. And when they got failed and they were captive and gone into captivation, whatever it is, they could not sustain themselves, because the only sustenance and is really, really, really stands firm for mankind. His name is God Almighty. You can stand on his word. You can go to sleep on his word. Even in death, you're a winner. Because you know something? Lazarus lay in the grave for 4 days. And my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came forward and he said, "Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth." Name me a leader in this world, or the world that passed 2,000 years ago, who can command the dead to get up and walk. My Lord does that. So you know something? Continue. I need this. Continues. Verse 5. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" This belt is holding. What Jesus asked him is paralyzed. Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Notice the scripture says, "He that winneth soul should be wise." Jesus didn't go into details to tell him about his sins. As you continue, and I'm going to read a little more in the scripture, where Jesus met him, and he was pushing all different kinds of excuse. "You know, Jesus, I've been waiting all these years, and there is nobody to put me in this water. Jesus, don't you see my dilemma?" But Jesus says to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Jesus is not just talking about his legs. Jesus is talking about his heart. He's pointing to his heart. And some of us are here this morning, and I'm asking the same question. Do you want to be made well? How you made well is to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is for us to get every day closer to him. And we make well. Jesus says, "Do you want to be made well?" And he had all the excuse he can have. And Jesus says, "Take up your bed and walk." My brothers, my sisters, let me say something to you. If you have a drugs problem, don't blame your mother. Don't blame your father. Don't blame your friends. Don't blame the church. Do you want to be made well? If you have a hate problem, don't blame society. Do you want to be made well? If you notice what's going on here, the thing that was sustaining him, now he's carrying it around. And he can put it down whenever he wants to put it down. And the bottom line, whatever's going on wrong into your life and my life, when we meet Jesus, we have the power to put it down or pick it up and continue walking with it. That's what he's saying to him. He picks up his bed and he walks. And I'm going to finish the story this way. The people who said they were religious people who do not understand God, or they are so deep in their religion, they saw him carrying his bed, and all they could think of, it's a Sabbath, don't carry your bed, when they should rejoice in with him. Thank God, brother. Thank God, sister. You were a drunkard, you were a prostitute, you are all different kind of people. But because Jesus touched you, I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to rejoice with you because now you are clean. The word of God says to Peter, he said, who the Lord made clean, don't call them common or unclean. That's God's word. If you're going to stone somebody, throw it at God. Not me. I'm only preaching his word. You know, I love my brother, Billy Graham. When I listened to Billy Graham, when he was alive, I still listen to him every now and then. You always hear Billy says, the Bible says, and my friends, continue reading this passage of scripture. And you see where the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the rulers of those days in the temple, instead they glorify God and give the man a room to worship God. They seek to crucify Jesus and to kill Jesus. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to close. And in closing, I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, don't matter what your problem may be. Don't matter what anyone say about you. Don't matter what anyone thinks about you, you are important to God more than this world. Yeah. And live your life not to please people. Live your life to please God. Amen. God says, I'm looking in your heart. I'm looking in your heart. And whatever I see in your heart, I'm going to judge you by it. So my brothers and sisters, you know, I want to end with this story. My mom, very beautiful woman, she had me when she was 22 years old. And in Jamaica, it's very warm. So mom used to be there and the machine sewing, and all she'd have is her brassiere, or half sleep, and she sew in the house. Anyhow, when she get dressed and she come out, she wear a skirt, big white skirt. So what I used to do, going with mom, anyone that I see and it was that seemed threatening to me, I used to lift up the skirt and run right on the skirt and put my hand around her waist and feel safe. And she was there wiggling. Boy, get from under my skirt. Get from under. And I'm not letting go, ma'am. I'm safe under here. Because that's where I feel safe. Jesus says, I would like to Jerusalem. He said, I would love to gather you as a hen gathered her chicken under their wings. And Jesus is saying to you, my brothers and sisters, this morning, don't care what your problems may be. He wants you to come under his wing and to be covered and to feel safe. Give thanks and praise to the Lord God of heaven who created everything. God. I sense who Pastor Gary comes.
Well, thank God for that message. Praising God for all the wonderful things he's done in our life, right? Because the songwriter said, when I think about the goodness of God and all that he has done, my soul cries out. So we'll call the praise team to just sing one stanza of a song that we'll close on and be out of here. Amen? You can stand with us as we sing just one stanza of the song, Lord, we praise you.
Get ready to go. I just want to encourage you as I think about that message that Reverend Guy preached. And it kind of awesome. He said, do you want to be made well? And he didn't just mean to fix your paralysis, fix some illness only, but in our whole self, he was able to make them well. And we thank Jesus because he is God. And hopefully that begins to work in us to be thankful to God for all the things that he does for us. As we leave this morning, if you're a visitor, we're so glad you're here, by the way. And Deacon Jonathan has a gift for you in the back. So we're going to ask you to step out right now, and John will take care of you. You're here for the first time in a long, long time. John has a gift for you. You can step right out and see him. And Pastor Ansu is going to close us out with a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. And as we've come to just be a praise unto you, looking back of all that you've done for us, we said thank you, Lord. We've come with a heart of praise, honoring you for all that you've done and continue to do for us. And even from your word, oh God, that was spoken, Lord, and that, Lord, we will seek you. And whatever we need to be made hold of, oh God, will be done according to your will. Carry us this week, Lord, and as we celebrate Thanksgiving, we say thank you for our church family. Thank you for visitors and friends that come to celebrate, and we look forward, Lord, to come back next Sunday where we just praise you continuously, Lord. Be glorified now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we want to wish